Hello and welcome to Glimmer of Genius episode 31. This is a podcast all about Magic the Gathering, bringing you the latest happenings in the MTG community, from news to tournament reports, deck ideas to MTG finance. We are Glimmer of Genius. My name's Luke and I make YouTube videos. On the line with me is Level 2 Judge Grant David. And if you want to learn more about the show, then check us out on Facebook at Glimmer of Genius. Leave a comment or a question for the show and become part of the conversation. This show today is going to be all about Guilds of Ravnica spoilers. As we're already well into spoiler season, we're just going to go over a few of our favourite cards, as well as some of the interesting standouts from a limited perspective as well. Have you got some choice cards to mind? What's your pickings out of this set? Because I think we're well into... Key thing is we're well into spoiler season now. I mean, pre-release is in a few days' time, so I don't think there's really any need for us to talk about the spoilers at much sort of breadth. So it was just to kind of see what your highlights really from what you've seen so far.
Well, for me, I've been playing since 8th edition, as I think most people know, but I didn't really start playing properly until I came into, I think it was when Dragon's Maze was just came out. I think that was my first pre-release, I think. So it was nice to go back to Ravnica, although I didn't play like a format when the first Ravnica was out. Obviously, I recognised all the guilds and stuff. So what I did was I played in that. That was cool. And then I did that event deck from, it was a Selesnya event deck. And I played like tokens for a while, and that's quite fun. And had a lot of like Advent of the Worm, which was like one of my favourite cards, just because it was like the only good card I had when I was first like playing and all that sort of business. Yeah. So I'm drawn towards Selesnya in this one, even though Golgari looks very, very strong. Mm-hmm. But depending on standard, I might end up just doing like, you know, Abzan, so whatever. But to me, I'm drawn to the Selesnya cards. And also because I'm kind of like, I haven't played standard since like, I think I played it like once after Dominaria came out, and that's it. I just haven't really been engaged with it at all. I'm thinking if I do want to play standard, just to have like a, you know, like a really cheap deck, just don't really get involved. And also because, of course, I've already got shock lands,
yep.
I won't have to invest too much if I do want to play standard, which is quite nice for a change.
That's a good point.
So my focus is on like just some of the really like value cards that aren't going to be worth much money. So particularly like the uncommons.
Okay.
So the ones I'm drawn to, in my absolute favourite, is got to be the Conclave Cavalier, the double green, double white, 4/4 Vigilance, that when it dies, you make 2/2s with Vigilance.
Yes. Does it have Convoke, or am I thinking...
Oh, no, it's got Vigilance, but I was going to say, the reason I like it is because, one, because it's just like pure value, but also because Vigilance and Convoke, obviously, is a good thing.
Yes.
So I'm not really sold on too many Convoke cards in this set, but I feel like it's got potential to use those creatures for Convoke.
Absolutely.
So definitely Conclave Cavalier, and obviously, like furthermore for that, in those colours, I quite like the Knight of Autumn.
Yes.
I think it's going to make a big splash in Modern and other formats potentially as well.
Well, as soon as you said value, that was the first thing that came into my mind.
Yeah. I thought she was uncommon, actually, but it looks like she's a rare. They've done the correct thing as well. Although, of course, there's a lot of humans on Ravnica, they did not make the mistake of making it human, because this would have been broken in the human Modern deck, you know, to have as a utility thing. But yeah, so I like her.
So remind us what she does, just in case people have missed.
Oh, sure. So Knight of Autumn is one, green and white. It's a 2/1. And then she can either come in with 2/1 counters, so like a 3-mana 4/3, which is quite nice. She can destroy an artifact or an enchantment, or you can gain 4 life. And I can't really think of a situation where, like, one of those modes isn't useful.
Yeah.
So it's just nice having that proper... Like, I like cards that give you choices, but sometimes it's always just, like, one more than the other, or I don't know. But yeah, that's quite nice.
I think it's really good, because if you think against any matchup, pretty much she's got a mode, which is going to be awesome.
Actually, I did, but not that you really need Convoke for it, but I've come across Sprouting Renewal, so it's 3-mana with Convoke, and you can either make another 2/2 elf, or you can destroy target artifact or enchantment. So that's just nice, just having like a cheap sort of Convoke card. Also, Venerated Loxodon, so it's a 4/4, it's 5-mana 4/4 with Convoke, but if you Convoke anything, they also get 1/1 counters.
That's pretty sweet.
You could have a mostly 2/2 token deck which have Vigilance, attack with them. Then, you know, main phase 2, tap them, do a Loxodon, make them slightly bigger. That's quite cool. There's also that weird, well, not O-Ring, because it's... Oh, no, it is O-Ring, because it's non-land permanent.
Conclave Tribunal.
Yeah, with Convoke, so that's quite interesting as well.
I think that's going to be all over any kind of white creature-based deck. Because if you think about even just doing, like, the things that you said there, you know, like turn one, you might play Llanowar Elves, you've got some other dorks, but you can curve into a card like Conclave Cavalier... Probably on turn as early as turn 3, and if you've got enough creatures out, you can then start to even potentially like Conclave Tribunal almost for free.
Yeah, Also, I like the Samala Wood Shaper. I mean, it's literally just a common. It's a 4-mana, it's green-white card. 4-mana of 2-1. But when you play her, you look at top 4 and you can put a creature or enchantment from those into your hand and the rest in the bottom. And just having a deck that's like mostly creatures and enchantments in all in Celestia, but making it value and having cards like that to make sure you always draw them, that seems quite cheap and good, basically.
No, it's decent. It's decent. And yeah, speaking about what you're saying about like the whole Celestia thing, I've just noticed underneath that one, you've got the, for limited, you've got the Vernadi Shieldmate, which is going to be... basically, it's a 2-mana 2-2. It's hybrid mana as well, so it's green or white.
And one, and then hybrid, not double hybrid, which is interesting. Yeah.
No, it's just so good because it just means you can actually build around Convoking Limited.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
I think I know, I mean, obviously, they're not so much my favourites in a vacuum. They're more just my favourites because I want to build a deck out of them. But I think my favourites are therefore going to be Conclave Cavalier, probably Knight of Autumn, but then also that Mythic Enchantment, the white one, the Divine Visitation. So if one or more creature tokens would be created under your control, make that many 4/4 angels instead.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the flavour text for that?
The angels appreciated the offer, politely declined to eat any bird seed.
That's so good.
Yeah. So that's quite nice. I like the idea of making... it's a 5-mana enchantment. I wish it was kind of more... I suppose it kind of curves out with Conclave Cavalier. But yeah, just having a token deck that makes angels instead of normal stuff seems quite fun. Particularly when you've got... what's it called? It's that rare that... Oh, no, it's not rare. It's uncommon. Ledev Champion. 3-mana, again, green-white, 2-2. When it attacks, you can tap any number of untapped creatures. It gets +1/+1 for each creature tapped this way. But then you can also pay 5 to make a 1/1 soldier with lifelink. So having that, I mean, I don't know if I like the idea of just tapping creatures to make one big guy, particularly when he hasn't got trample. But regardless of that, just having like a guy that can make 1/1s that could potentially be angels in that deck seems quite fun.
Yeah. I think that's quite a funky looking card, actually, that one.
Yeah, seems fun.
You know, the most interesting thing for me in green is actually the 3-mana 2/2 Elf Scout District Guide.
Oh, yes. I like the look of that. I'm so disappointed that Maze's End isn't in this set because I love the idea of building a deck up just around gates, but I don't think you can do that as much as you could before. You could win the game just with gates, but oh well.
Well, you know, they might bring it out in the next set. It might be something they kind of wanted to not have as the first kind of thing that you do, kind of like show off some other stuff first and then do it in like the second set maybe.
The one above that, the circuitous route, seems quite strong as well. I remember what was it called, was it Explosive Vegetation?
Yeah,
that was just really strong, and this seems like a better version of that. And so given that you might have cards that trigger off of gates, that seems like this could be a thing.
Yeah, well, so yeah, I mean, so District Guide allows you to search for a basic land, put it into your hand, and then shuffle your library. So that's pretty good. Or a gate. So they've added in the gate. And then what you're saying as well with circuitous route. Search your library up to 2 basic lands and or gate cards. So yeah, very much like Explosive Vegetation. But it does feel like, now that you've mentioned there is an absence of Maze's End, it does feel like there would be something that's going to happen with gates maybe at some point, because... Why?
Just a reprint of Crackling Perimeter, like just something like that.
Exactly. You know? So like, why? It feels like an obvious plant. Like, why add that text in if it's not going to do anything? I mean, it's good in getting limited, because obviously you can get your one bit of mana fixing you might have drafted or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, but it seems interesting actually that you could, again, although you're, you know, at a benefit of doing 2 colours for this set, you could have, again, like I said, I wanted to do Celestia but could go, you know, a bit of Golgari. That's the kind of thing where I could have a mostly green deck, have white and black in, and then as long as you have a playset of stuff like Circuitous Route or District Guide, and I know gates are slow, but you could run, you know, with Circuitous Route, you could be mono green, you could look for a Selesnya Guildgate and a Golgari Guildgate. You know, that seems really strong to me.
Definitely.
And again, we're just talking about uncommons here, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
I like the idea, Bounty of Might, sorry, that green rare, the 6-mana, 3 target creatures get +1/+1 into end of turn, or the same one, doesn't matter. I like the idea of attacking with, like, you know, 3 of those knights, and they go, oh, you know, whatever, let one through, and it just gets +9/+9 into it. See loads of people getting really salty about winning with that card.
That seems pretty,
Oh, Pet Collector as well below seems quite fun.
See, I thought it was called Pet Collector, but read it again.
Oh, Pell Collector. same thing, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pell Collector. That does make sense. He does look like he's wearing a very big coat.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, but again... they made the wise choice of not making him a human.
Yep.
1 mana for a 1/1. And one mana, one, ones that are rares always seem to be one way or the other. There was that, is it that Dragon Mystic one or whatever it's called? Like, again, people are like, oh, it's amazing, and then it isn't, and then in some methods it's really useful and whatever. He seems like that kind of person.
I think he's got some potential, because if you look at that, and you've got District Guide, and you've got Llanowar Elves, you've also got, probably too expensive, but Beast Whisperer, 4 mana, yeah. 2/3, whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. I hear Glimpse of Nature effects are quite good. Yeah. So, you know, there's some potential there with Elves to maybe be a thing, which is quite cool.
I mostly like the idea with Pelt Collector of combining that Conclave Cavalier, because you play the Conclave Cavalier, he gets a 1-1 counter. The Conclave Cavalier dies, he gets another counter. You know, the 2/2s, you know, potentially could trigger other ones or whatever, or if you put Bounty of Might on them, again, they could trigger that. It seems interesting.
I'm very drawn to a couple of cards. Weirdly enough, a couple of them are green. The most obvious one, and it's going to be so overhyped, and I think it's going to be super expensive.
Nullhide Ferox.
Huh?
Nullhide Ferox, are you going to say?
No, what even is that?
Oh, the green bear that's just kill everything. It's a big, scary green thing.
Oh, that? No.
That's just an absolute abomination.
That won't be... So, okay, I'll talk about Nullhide Ferox first, because I am actually really super low on this card. So it's a 4-mana 6/6. So that sounds good, and that is not terrible, to be fair. So starting off is quite reasonable stats for 4-mana. Hexproof, you can't cast non-creature spells. So in a mono-green deck, that's not necessarily a problem.
Yeah.
2-mana, Nullhide Ferox loses all abilities until end of turn. Anyone can play this ability. If a spell or ability an opponent controls causes you to discard Nullhide Ferox, put it into the battlefield instead of putting it into your graveyard. So that bottom bit in standard is almost completely like blank card. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, there's not that many discard effects. Yeah. And in games where people are bringing discard in, it's not against Nullhide Ferox decks, let's be honest. So
you don't know the meta yet.
no, fair, but no. And so basically people are losing their minds over this. Oh, it's a 4-mana 6/6 hexproof, and I just don't see it. So you cast it, your opponent pays 2 mana and kills it. That's it. Okay, cool. You did have a hexproof thing, but then you don't because you've got... Yeah, I think it's awful.
You're going to be killing it only with proper destroy effects, because it's too fat to kill with, like, just burn stuff. So say if you're using, I don't know, Assassin's Trophy, because obviously that's the whole, like, it dies to Assassin's Trophy kind of thing. You're going to probably be spending at least, like, 4 mana to try and kill it. So it's not just pay 2, because you've then got to kill it with something else, I guess. So I kind of agree, but I think the opponent having to leave up like 4 mana is a much bigger deal than just leaving up 2. I don't know.
I think blue white doesn't care because it's got the new 3-mana wrath, which is destroy all creatures with power. Toughness 4 or more. So it dies to that. It also dies to settle the wreckage, which is still in the format.
True.
And if it said this can't be countered, I would probably be a little bit more. Like, okay, that's interesting, because blue decks can still counter it. You've got a really good counter spell now, the 3-mana, 1 blue-blue counter target spell, Surveil, I believe. So yeah. Surveil is like Scribe, but instead of going on the bottom, they go into a graveyard. So that's going to be amazing. So yeah, it can still be countered. And also, I do take your point, though. It does potentially tax your opponent for mana, but... Unless you're casting it on turn 3 under a counter spell with the help of like a Llanowar Elf or something, I just don't see it doing much. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I'm good at being wrong.
I think I agree with you. I think what you've said has made me less hyped about it, but I still think it's going to be ridiculously priced, and then it's going to be like a few months of no one ever playing it, and then it's going to be nothing. And then there'll probably be some card that makes it, and then it will spike back up again. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean. It's going to tear chunks out of your life total. I remember, you know, people used to be a bit kind of like, oh, Heart of Kieran's not that great. But if you don't have an answer for Heart of Kieran, it tears you a new one so quick.
Oh, yeah.
It's real. But yeah, it just depends kind of what... I actually think something like that... Actually, no, it doesn't even work. I was going to say it would be good in the green-blue deck where you got counterspell back up. But that doesn't work because you can't cast non-creature spells when you've got
unless you spend 2 yourself, yeah.
Exactly. But then if you spend 2, you've just taken away its hexproof. So, like, it's just like, what the hell's going on? Like, it's just so weird. I mean, how about that for a gotcha moment, actually? You do make that green-blue deck, so you let your opponent take away the hexproof, and then when they try and kill it...
Yeah. That's the way I like to play that.
Oh,
My favourite flavour text has got to be Affectionate Indrik, if you know that one.
Oh, yes.
Which has a, like, an Indrik, which is a big, like, I don't know, beastie dinosaur thing. It's kind of like nuzzling someone, but kind of knocking them over. And the flavour text is, the problem isn't the Indrik's enthusiasm, it's Ravnica's lack of guardrails.
Yes, I love it. Did you see that? I saw some people laughing about that, and they were saying that should be the... This should have been Fatal Push's... not just the playmat, but this should have been the artwork for Fatal Push.
I like that. That's good. Imagine if they reprint Fatal Push. That's just, that'd be awful. Just in stands forever.
Yeah, try not to think about that.
Yeah, why not?
I also feel like they should have made that dinosaur. What with the dinosaur stuff in Corset hanging over from Ixalan.
Yeah.
That could have been a dinosaur.
That's true. Also, I don't like blue, generally, but I like some of the enchantments in blue.
Yeah.
Actually, no, one of them is an enchantment. It's a creature. But the Murmuring Mystic, 4 mana, 1/5, whenever you cast an instant sorcery spell, you make 1/1 bird. I generally like sort of big stuff of toughness that does something cool. I also like Guild Summit.
What's that one?
Which is a 3 mana enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, you may tap any number of untapped gates you control, draw a card for each gate you tap this way, mm-hmm. and whenever you play a gate, also draw a card.
That's cool.
And also, just because I haven't seen it sounded for a while, Flooding Streets or something. It's a 2 mana. Whenever you play a blue spell, they mill 2, I think it is. But I like the idea of milling being back in standard, because that hasn't happened since Sphinx's Tutelage in Origins. So.
Yes, Drowned Secrets. Whenever you cast 2 mana enchantment, cast a blue spell, target player puts top 2 cards of the library. See, I like this. The main reason I like this is it costs 2 mana, whereas all the other stuff tends to cost 3. And
3, exactly.
I get the impression they're sometimes scared to print mill cards too cheap.
Cowards.
I know. I feel like it's not actually that much of a problem, because milling people is quite hard to do. The decks that tend to do it don't tend to be, you know, super competitive. So it's not going to be that harmful to print something like this.
Narco Amoeba got reprinted as well. That's good. It obviously works really well with Surveil, but also is nice to have a card that is, you know, hard to get hold of because it's a very old card that hasn't been reprinted. Has Narco Amoeba been reprinted before?
I don't think it has. It might have been in some sort of event deck, perhaps. I could be wrong, but I really don't think it has. When I see a card like Narco Amoeba, though, I do get a bit of... Modern Masters. I do get a little bit scared, because I think, what is this herald? what does this actually mean is going to happen? Because Narco Amoeba is the sort of thing that people are going to want to try and break, and I do worry. Maybe that worry is unfounded, and it's just a nice bit of value in a Surveil deck.
I don't think it's ever going to be a threat in Standard, because the only way that it heralds something is if you've got some sort of crazy, like, when a creature enters the battlefield kind of trigger, and there's just nothing that massive in Standard. It's only, like, in Modern where you've got that scope that you can do, obviously, silly dredge stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably always going to be fine in Standard, but I don't know. Even if you had, like, a proper hardcore Surveil deck, I still don't think I'd want to run it, because it just, I don't know what the chances of you hitting it are. I don't know.
I think that's true. I do wonder... Yeah, at this point in time, I would wonder, like, you kind of feel like, right, I'll throw in some Narco Amoeba, I'll throw in some Surveil, maybe a couple of Jumpstart cards, but then what are you actually doing? You know, you're getting a game state where you've got a 1-1 back for free.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, great, nice, 1-1, but what else are you doing? Exactly like you say, at least in Modern, if you're doing that, by getting the 1-1 back, you're actually triggering something else awesome to happen. And that's the bit that's missing, like... Just getting a 1-1 flyer is kind of so-so.
What I really like, actually, it's not my colours at all, but apart from the ones in Silesnia, I think the ones I actually like the most have been some of the Dimir cards. I really like, for some reason, just the value on Doom Whisperer, you know, that 5-mana 6-6 flying from demon.
You've pit me to the post. This is one of the ones I was going to be talking about.
Because, you know, you get cheap demons, but there was a bad thing, and there's nothing bad on this card. I don't understand how it's been allowed to be okay.
It's quite aggressively costed as well.
Exactly.
Something like this you would expect to see around 7 mana. I would expect that. If that cost 7 mana, I would be like, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a 7-mana janky demon that you get every so often. But this is 5-mana, Nightmare Demon, Flying Trample, pay 2 life, Surveil 2, and it's a 6-6. Which is crazy.
Just below that, Dream Eater, I think, is going to be, if control is still a thing and it's got blue, that's going to be all over the place because it just seems very, very good.
I think, given the iteration of Shocklands we've got,
yeah,
control is definitely going to be a thing.
Yeah, Dream Eater, just, I mean, we've already seen a lot of, like, in control, when control's been a thing, just having flashcards, as it doesn't really matter what else is on the card, like, just having flashcards in blue that can kill someone eventually, it doesn't really matter. It's like Torrential Gearhulk, obviously you get value from playing the spell, but I've just seen people just be beaten down by the fact that you've got a creature when the opponent wasn't expecting it.
What does Dream Eater do again? Remind me, I can't find it.
6 mana, 4/3 with flash and flying, and when it comes in, surveil 3. When you do, you may return target non-land permanent and opponent controls to its owner's hand.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. I actually didn't read the Surveil 4. That's just insane, especially with that. But yeah, well, like I was saying, like, Torrential Gearhulk, like, again, you get the value from the spell, but sometimes it was just having a flash big creature that was important. And yep. The same with whatever that mono blue control deck was around sort of Dragon's time, where you had that, whatever that Jeskai Serpent was called. Again, that was like, you just flashed in a big serpent thing, hit them with it, and then that was just enough. And I think this, with all the text on it, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that is quite horrible. That does feel like a Torrential Gearhulk as well, when you kind of talk about it like that. Like, the value you're getting, like, the fact you're bouncing something.
I know you don't get a free spell, but I think it's better. I think with Surveil 4, you set yourself up better, and it's got, I know it's weaker, but you've got the flying as well, and I think it's better, personally.
I think there's definitely spots where it's better, but I think the options that Gearhulk could give you, so, like, on an empty board, you can end step a Glimmer of Genius again.
Yeah, so exactly. Like, there's going to be situations.
But yeah, no, this is definitely strong. I totally see where you're coming from. That's quite nasty. So yeah, the one card that I was going to mention, because you basically talked about all the ones I was going to talk about. So I had Doom Whisperer, Conclave Tribunal on my list. I was going to give a special mention to Weed Dragonauts and Goblin Electromancer. Basically, living the dream, because between Weed Dragonauts, which is the reprint, the 1/3, which gets +2/+0 whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, it's got flying as well. And then you got Goblin Electromancer, which is makes instants and sorceries cheaper for one red, one blue as a 2/2 creature, and is pretty sweet. And then you got Crackling Drake. So this kind of combo of, like, instants and sorceries around this creature base of blue-red creatures, which get better with instants and sorceries. Crackling Drake's power equal to the number of instants and sorceries you control in your grave, and exile as well, which is quite interesting. And when he enters the battlefield, draw a card. He's a 4-mana X4. So, yeah, lots of stuff around that, which I think, whether or not it's going to be good, you know you're going to see blue-red spells at your FNM. Just, there will be someone trying it out. Probably even going to be me.
Did you mention Firemind's Research?
Is that the...
The enchantment which does stuff, and then you can remove things for, you know, whatever. I think that's a really nice card.
2-mana, whenever you cast instant or sorcery, put a charge counter on it. 1 blue, 1 colourless, remove 2 charge counters, draw a card. 1 red, 1 colourless, remove 5, deal 5 damage to something. Interesting.
I like 2-mana enchantments you can build stuff around, and I don't think that's going to do much to standard, but I like the fact that it exists and will make someone want to build a deck around it.
Kind of reminds me of a far weaker Pyromancer's Ascension. If you can...
Yes, yeah.
If you've got enough velocity and cheap spells to kind of just churn through your deck quickly, you know, you've got an end game there in the 5 damage.
Carnal, I think it's Carnal, not Charnel, but Carnal Troll in Golgari, the 3-mana 4/4 trample, where you have to exile a creature card from your graveyard to put a 1/1 counter on it, otherwise it dies. I like that card. Obviously, it's terrible in Golgari because you're doing the exact opposite of what it should do, because you're exiling creature cards. But I like that in standard you could have effectively a Golgari deck, but just don't really care about having creatures in your graveyard and just feed this guy and just get value from having it as a 4/4 trample that gets bigger.
Absolutely. Any kind of green black rock deck, a couple of these thrown in. Like, that's just going to escalate, isn't it? It's what we were saying before.
Yeah.
You've got just the high power creatures. Like, it's 3-mana. It's going to take chunks out of your life total. I like the ability of discarding a card to put a counter on it. So yes, you can...
And put it in your graveyard. That's the important bit.
Yeah. Keep them alive if you need to. Yeah, the card I was mentioning earlier, the card I was actually alluding to was Assassin's Trophy, which is the...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Everyone's already talking about this, I think. Green, 1 green, 1 black. Destroy target permanent. Its controller search their library for a basic land card.
It's obviously good, but I think, obviously, people have been saying, like, oh, is it better than Abrupt Decay or whatever. I think the conversation to be having is not that if it's better than Abrupt Decay or not. It's more that if you want to build a green black deck in Modern, you now have effectively 8 copies of Destroyer Permanent, and that's quite scary.
Yes. Yes, it is. What I think is really good about this is that I think it will really give that archetype an edge. Not necessarily an edge, but it gives it a tool where it would have previously struggled against two very good strategies against it. And the first one being Tron Lands, and the second one being Planeswalkers.
Yes.
In like Blue White Control and other decks like that. A lot of people are going to be saying things like, oh, this means Tron's dead. It's like, no, it doesn't. It just means that Tron doesn't get as many auto wins as it maybe once did, you know, because the cost is real as well. You know, you've got to be aware of the fact that you're giving them basic land. It's not completely free. If you're hitting a land with it, them getting a land is not completely irrelevant. So like the times you're doing it against that, it's going to be against those very specific strategies, or against like Valakut. Like, it's nice to do that against Valakut.
Yeah, I think it has a lot of options, and yeah, people I think either way are reacting a bit over the top for some things.
That's Magic players though, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay, last thing I'm going to mention, because I need to be assisting with bath time, is...
Yeah, for those that listen that don't know, Luke has to have a bath by himself precisely at about 5:15 or he gets very cranky.
Nothing but truth there. Ionize, because you made me think of more red-blue spells. Basically, it's a council, but one red instead of a second blue, counter-target spell, but with the bonus, 2 damage to that spell's controller. So more fuel for that red-blue, is it, spells deck. Listening to Patrick Chapin's podcast, and he seems to really like it. It's just that the fact that it's less restrictive in the mana cost for blue. It's nice to have variations on things that are the same cost, just so you've got that choice in deck building.
What I like about it particularly is that I always like Mindswipe, you know, in Karnsatakir.
Oh, yeah.
Blue Red X. And I liked that it did what it did, but the whole X made it really rubbish.
Yes.
I was like, why can't you just have like a 3 or 4 mana spell that does the same, does like a set chunk of damage? And this is that card. I like that exists because I like that mechanic, just not Mindswipe, because that was any card like it.
You've read my mind. I love the idea of Mindswipe, and I always try to kind of sneak it in. And you always find yourself sort of thinking, oh, maybe I'll just put one copy in because I can't reliably cast this when I want to cast it for the value that I want to get. You know, that's so true. Yeah, Ionite is going to be a nice spot there. Okay, cool. I think that's all we've got time for today. Thanks very much for listening. I need to run my bath.
Fair enough. See ya.
Take care.
Bye. Oh, we talked about flavor text, we talked about cards. I think we have to mention the best card name, which is if Snoop Dogg became a scientist, and that is Hypothesizzle.
I haven't even seen that. Hypothesis.
It's blue-red. It's like about a third of the way down the page.
Oh, my God.
It's like a woman with like blue lightning coming out of her head. It looks a bit sort of a bit sort of techno, what's it called, Vocaloid kind of art.
Oh my god, yeah, that's pretty psychedelic.
Hypothesis, yeah. It's like blowing off an arcane library in a thermobaric explosion, but in a good way. That's the flavor text. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shizzle.